help us to commence this evening with hymn 676. Oh, could I lift this heart of mine above these creature things, I'd fly and leave this world below as though on eagle's wings. 676.
Let us read together for our instruction two portions of God's holy word. The first is in the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 1. The Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many, my equals, in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. We will now turn to the first Epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, and read in chapter 1. The first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labour of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The Lord bless his own word and help us in prayer. Merciful and gracious God, as we draw near unto thee, in mercy draw near unto us. Come and make one in our midst. For we are, O Lord, poor, wretched sinners by nature. And so we would have continued in sin, and still we know, Lord, the awfulness of our own carnal, deceitful heart, which would cause us to turn aside, or to look to self, or to indulge in things in this world which must perish with the using. But Lord, if it has been thy mercy to single us out and to bring us to know thy grace, oh, may we therefore know the sanctifying work of thy Spirit and of the word of truth in our hearts, separating us unto thyself, that we may be true followers of Christ Jesus, he who came into this world to bear the sins of many, and to die and to rise again, and now ascended up on high. O Lord, we would seek to exalt, and to worship thee, for thou art worthy of our praises. How backward we are often in those praises. We feel our coldness, our faintness, our readiness to turn aside, oh, my fickle, deceitful heart. Do, Lord, in mercy, drive away. They buy us the sorrows, as it were, from our hearts. The tumults that may cry within and seek to drown anything that thy Spirit may speak or teach us, that word of promise and the word of exhortation. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt deliver us from Satan's enticements and from his deceptive means to worry, to try, to shake us from the confidence that is to be known through the grace of the Spirit which thou dost so freely give. Lord, we pray that thou wilt establish us in the truth and keep us in thy way, in thy fear. Teach us, Lord, thy wisdom, that we may be found to continually seek unto it. For as it is written, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. O thy mercy, not dealing with us as we so richly deserve. For surely we need to be upbraided for our forgetfulness, upbraided for our prayerlessness, upbraided because we are so backward in coming to thee. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt draw us. Oh, what a power there is in thy drawings. Draw us, said the spouse of old, and we will run after thee. May we know, Lord, the drawing of the cords of a man, that man Christ Jesus, and the bands of everlasting love. Oh, do, Lord, then melt our hearts with a sense of thy love, thy loving kindness, thy tender mercies. We pray that thou wilt grant thy help as we are thus gathered. May the word be in that power and assurance of the Holy Ghost, and not just mere words. Thou knowest, Lord, how thy servants often tremble, lest they should only have words to speak, but it be a powerless word to the hearers, because they are left to themselves. O Lord, leave us not. May that precious treasure be found in our poor earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We do pray that thou would give the hearing ear to the hearers, that they may hear us for eternity. O Lord, how solemn is eternity. We must all come to that. But where shall we be found? Amongst those experiencing a living death, never knowing the life that there is to be known in Christ Jesus? Or shall we be favoured to seek and to press toward the hope that there is given unto such who thou dost quicken, make alive, bring to know their great need, and to seek first the kingdom of heaven and Christ's righteousness, believing that all things shall be added unto us that are needful in the course of this life. But Lord, we may so easily be caught up with the spirit of the world, which says, give, give, ever wanting more of the things of this life, adding to what we have, and not content with those things which we have received. For surely, Lord, we receive from thy gracious hand in all our providence, as we may receive from thy gracious hand in grace. Therefore may we be thankful that thou dost give what we do have, and Lord, much more abundantly than we deserve. And Lord, if thou shouldest take it away, should we murmur? One has said, good when he gives, supremely good, no less when he withholds. Lord, what is the reason, the purpose, for the withholding of thy hand? Is it because we need to be awakened, shaken out of our sleepiness, from our lethargy, from that spirit which assumes that the things that are spoken of will be ours. O Lord, may we ever be stirred up to desire the confirmation which we need, the blessed witness of thy spirit with our spirit, that we are among the sons, the daughters of God. Lord, do cause us to consider the necessity of being put amongst the children. O Lord, to be as one of thy children. Make us therefore humble to come to thy footstool, to desire the one thing needful. Do, Lord, grant us more of that yearning for the heavenly things, and that we may delight ourselves, as the psalmist did, in the Lord. We pray that thou wilt be mindful of those that are here gathered in their varied situations and circumstances, some things that may have come suddenly upon them, distresses and trials, whether in business life or in family or in other ways. Lord, there have been those that have been laid, have had affliction laid upon them, and is there not a cause? Oh, that these things, Lord, may work together for good, that they may see that thy gracious hand, though it may be a hand of chastening, not in anger, but in covenant love. Oh, then do grant that they may see, that they may see their teachers, though it may be the bread of adversity and the waters of affliction that they are partakers of at present, yet may they know in due course, being brought out into a wealthy place, brought into the liberty of the gospel. Even this night, may they find they receive and have and enter into something which they have long desired, and therefore the gospel, the Son that makes them free, free from the bondage of doubt and unbelief, free from the bondage of legal slavery, wherein they have tried again and again to keep the commandment, only to fail and fail again, to strive against sin's power in the hopes to overcome it, yet prove again and again it seems to get the better of them. But then to know the one that in passing by may speak the word live, and that they may know the blessing of him who bore our iniquities and who suffered those stripes by which we are healed. He who suffered for us, the just for the unjust. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant thy mercies upon those not able to gather, reasons known to thee. Are there those that would indeed love and rejoice to be amongst thy people gathered this night, that because of the varying things that may have taken place and prevented them, yet we pray that they will bless them where they are. And Lord, we also would pray that there would be with those who, because of the nature of their vocation or occupation, find that coming on the weeknight occasion is a difficulty. Lord, we pray that there would also sweetly favour them with some thought or meditation upon thy word. We would pray for those that have their parental responsibilities and looking after their children. But Lord, we pray that they may be blessed in that duty and labour. Indeed, not a duty, but rather to be considered as a work of love. Lord, we would remember the little ones and pray that they may be preserved as they grow up into this godless world, from its spirit, from its ways, from its evils, from its immorality, or from its vain pleasures. We would also pray, Lord, that some good thing may be found in their heart at an early age, and that it should be that fear of the Lord, which is a bar to what is wrong, and a light to all that is right. We pray that they would be mindful of those in their increasing age and infirmities, and therefore they are confined much perhaps to their own place. But Lord, we pray that they may feel that though confined in body, yet they may in their own thoughts, as it were, walk up and down in the word itself and find much help from it. Now, Lord, we will not multiply words before thee, much that we may pray for. We pray for Zion at large. We pray, O Lord, for an increase. Oh, that there may be yet those stopped in their tracks, convinced of sin, and then brought to know the preciousness of Christ. Lord, we pray that there would also grant thy mercy upon us as a land and nation. We have greatly departed from thee. Iniquity runs down our streets like streams that seem to engulf so many and go impetuously on. And Lord, so we see the tide of evil ever increasing. Oh, do Lord, arise. Have mercy upon our leaders. Give them wisdom. Grant that they may be strong to stand for the thing that is right. And, Lord, thou alone canst cause men to see that they may speak the thing that is right. If such are raised up, O Lord, do then in mercy hear us. Hear thy little remnant, preserve her still, put a wall of fire round about her, so that thy remnant may still testify and be able to do it freely of all thy work. Lord, we pray that there would therefore appear and revive us again in these sad and solemn days. Have mercy upon our sovereign queen. Lord, we would remember her. No easy task to be the head of the land, nor head of what is the so-called church, the Church of England. And yet, O Lord, oh, that she could more readily testify of the truth as recorded in thy word, and above that, what she might be taught of thee in her heart. Lord, we do pray that she may be brought to know the things of truth in her own soul, and therefore her light to so shine amongst the people, that they should also be turned. So hear us now. Pardon us of our every sin. Send help from the sanctuary. Lord, we need it. And shine upon thy needy people. So hear us then. We ask it in and through the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 678. There's not a man that's born of God but readily will say, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. 678.
Lord, may be pleased to help me. I would direct your attention to the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, and read in verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The apostle writing to these Thessalonians already knew something of this truth. They had known the calling of God because they were such that were steeped in their idolatry, in their heathenism, worshipping the gods of stone or of gold or silver, such that were set up. And as it was in Thessalonica, so it had been in Corinth. And the Lord and the apostle writes similar words to those Corinthians, saying that God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of this of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Whether therefore we have known the calling of God, that is, the effectual call which has brought us from nature's darkness into the light of truth, into the light of life, once dead, once in our sins, still we feel the power of sin because we carry about a body of sin, a body of death. It is the experience of the Lord's people, as you have sung. They know the inward conflict, but it is because there are the two natures, the new nature and the old, and they are contrary, opposite, one to the other. And to abide together, well, they are therefore in conflict, and you will prove it, dear friends. When you are called from nature's darkness, then the warfare begins. And you will find that whatever you are called to, if it is the Lord's calling, then you will meet with opposition. You are meet with trouble, not because the Lord would design trouble for trouble's sake, but that we may know that we cannot have any confidence in the flesh, that we may know that we have no sufficiency of ourselves to be anything, to know the great difference between what may be considered by our flesh, by the world itself, that thinks that it must obtain some notoriety by its own efforts. But now, through the mercy of God, we must know the humbling hand. We must be brought to nothing in ourselves, and then to know what he calls us unto. He calls us unto himself. So we then have one whom we would have to rule over us, the sovereign of our heart. No longer then would we have self to reign, though self will struggle hard to gain that conquest over grace. But Jesus, he prevails. Now he calls us, therefore, from nature's darkness. He calls us to a mercy seat. He would have us there to pour out our heart as we are convinced of our sin, of our wretchedness, of our weakness, our helplessness, to bring us to cry for mercy and to cry for strength. Not the strength a man may boast of, but a strength which is seen in the words, comprehended in the words. Their strength is to sit still, to wait upon the Lord, to trust in him, to depend upon him for every blessing, every mercy, though we may have to wait long for it. And it is often the case of the Lord's people. They have to wait for these things. It was well said to those disciples, "Your time is always, my time is not yet." The Lord's time, though, is perfect. The Lord's way is perfect. And we only learn these things as we are under his constraining grace. Well, now, with regard to our text, faithful is he that calleth you. A faithful God who has called you to a hope, a hope in the mercy of God. Once you were without that hope, though you may have been ignorant of the fact that you were without it, brought up under the sound of the gospel, you may have considered yourself as good as any that were around you in those that gathered in the house of God. You may perhaps even this night feel to be as one who is as good as all the others until the Lord breaks your heart, makes you contrite, brings you to weep bitterly because of your failing, your sin, your wretchedness, your denial, your opposition, your rebellion. Then the Lord gives you true repentance. Oh, faithful is he that calleth you unto repentance. It is not something that that will come naturally. The Israel of old were often called to repentance. That was to leave the idols that they had gone after, the ways of the other nations that surrounded them, and to return unto God, and to consider the commandments that God had given them, that they may become obedient in those things. It wasn't long before we read concerning Israel that they had departed again from their God who was faithful. How faithful he was, how many times he would have them to return, how long-suffering God is. And this is known by the Lord's people. They know his long-suffering mercy, because first, he does not deal with them as they so richly deserve. They are taught what they deserve. They deserve the pains of eternal punishment, eternal death, which is a living death. to know that to know that consuming nature of that state in a lost eternity. Oh, how fearful! How fearful it is to know the terror of the Lord, which would consume us in a moment. For God is a consuming fire. And certainly out of Christ, as it is sometimes said, because the weight of the scripture bears it out, that out of Christ, that is what God is and must be. So the lost race of mankind will suffer such, except through the mercy of the one that seeks, so like the good shepherd who seeks out his sheep and will not rest until he has found them and has brought them into the fold. Well, are you one of those wandering sheep, those lost sheep, to be brought into the fold? You will prove his faithfulness. Oh, an unfaithful shepherd may have left you in your wanderings long ago, but he will seek them out. The hireling fleeth, yes, because he is but a hireling. But the Lord will continually send his own under-shepherds and servants to preach the precious gospel, that it may come to where you are, find you out, be a blessing for you, constrain you. But there's nothing like the shepherd's arms that will hold you when you are ready to perish, but his reviving grace, he that brings you. And now let me bring forth another aspect of this calling. Faithful is he that calleth you. The calling must be with faith, the faith of God, the faith that God gives unto his people. That is to look to the one who is able to save. To save unto the uttermost. That is what a poor lost sheep wants of its shepherd. That is what a poor wanderer requires of the one who would seek him out and find him. Well then, when we are brought to know the mercy and to know something of his goodness in not dealing with us as we deserve, shall we not find he is the very object, the object of our salvation? Being the object of our salvation, faith is then given and brought into exercise. Because we look to him alone for that deliverance. We've looked to others perhaps for deliverance. We've looked to others for healing. We've looked to others for washing the filth of our soul away. Nothing has worked. Like the woman who came to our Lord through and pressed through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment, She had a running issue. That is an issue that was an issue of blood, which brought no doubt much faintness at times, a running issue that made her feel weak. She had gone to the varying physicians, no remedy there. But now faith, see the faith of the dear woman. She heard of him. To hear the glorious person of the Lord himself, he who came down and took flesh to dwell amongst us. You may say, well, now you're entering into doctrine. Precious truth, the fact that he was made, that he became man, he was made flesh, he took flesh, and he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. I don't mean to say that he was sinful flesh. No, he was made in the likeness of it. The serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness by Moses, it was made in the likeness of a serpent. It wasn't a serpent, though it was the very image of a serpent. Well, there is, of course, in every type a failing. The type will fail, but the antitype will be glorious. We see, therefore, he who took flesh, a real man, made in the likeness of man, and as man is fallen, so he shall be found as a man. And yet there was no sin in him. There was no venom to be found in the brazen serpent. Serpents would never radiate a glory like the brazen serpent. The brazen serpent would reflect the light that would shine and cause and enable the Israelite afar off to see, to view, that there was that lifted up for such a unworthy sinner who had sinned grievously against God and was feeling the power of sin, considering the poison that now would cause him ready to die, ready to perish. But a single look. God is faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you. There was the call that would sound from Moses, exhorting the people to look to that, those sin-bitten, that they may obtain relief and healing. God was faithful in granting to their faith that blessing of relief. Well, your faith, you may say, my faith is small. And it may be small. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and the mustard seed referred to was the smallest seed that could be considered, if you held it in your hand, It was like the dust, and the wind would soon blow it from the hand. Ah, the wind blows that from the hand, his almighty hand, the wind of the Spirit, that it may go forth to fall upon some good ground. Good ground is well ploughed ground. That which has been ploughed has turned the very soil over, the clods, to break it up. The heart has been turned over, been broken, and now made ready. You are mourner. Now you have been brought to true contrition and sorrow over sin. Perhaps filled with the fear that you cannot hope for any mercy. Beyond mercy? Well, though you may fear it, yet the very word of life will bring you to know that there is a fullness of mercy with him who has implanted faith into your soul. And this is all part of that calling. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. Faithful is he that calleth you, so he calls you from nature's darkness, but he calls you into light. He calls you out of the world, that you may then be brought into company with those that fear his name, brought to feel that you are one of them and one with them. You may sometimes tremble to be so, to think that you're so named and so numbered. But is the feeling of your heart with the hymn writer who said, with them numbered may I be now and through eternity? Well, faithful is he that calleth you unto the fellowship that is to be known with your living head. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That is the fellowship that a child of God must have. As a child may know that its very bounds of a social blessing is to be from his from its parents. No parents, then it's an orphan. As one that has no comfort, no blessing, except there be such that may adopt them and so show them some affection. But though we admire many a parent who may adopt children, and the children may be greatly benefited from it, yet there's nothing like the true tie and the true relationship, blood relationship as it is known, with parents, loving parents that have been spared to bring us up and to teach us and to comfort us and to advise us and to guide us and to feed us, oh, so we may go on. How much more so it is with the one who is a father unto his children, with one in whom, from whom we receive that true fellowship, fellowship with our living head. To change the analogy or metaphor, as lively stones built upon that one foundation, there we find there is a blending, a binding together of those stones to be made as a spiritual house. And not only is it a house which is like an empty shell, but there is the divine occupant whose temple we are, writes the apostle. God is faithful, who hath brought you into that fellowship, first with himself and then with one another. It's a very blessed thing that we may have such fellowship, the fellowship of the Spirit, feeling of flowing together, particularly in the things of God. And when those things of God are made something to us, then how good it is to find another who knows the same things. 'Tis true we may not always live in the sweetness of those things. We become cold, indifferent, far off. And sometimes you will find that a brother, a sister of grace, also feeling the same, in so expressing your lack, you find then that there is a drawing near of the dear Saviour of sinners. If we think of those two that walked the Emmaus road, they may perhaps have passed through what was indeed a reality, in the sense that the one whom they had followed had been taken and slain, crucified. And they could not believe the tale of the women who had said that the tomb was empty and that he is risen. There had been those angel that had so informed them of it. And that Peter and John had gone to the tomb and found it even so. How dismal they had been, how downhearted, how troubled. Well, we mourn at times, don't we, an absent God? Or may we not think, though, just mourning an absent God is sufficient. That is not the substance of real religion, although it is an experience of those who know a real religion. What is the substance of real religion? Well, it's when Jesus himself draws near. And that will be longed for and desired. And you may find that many a day you mourn your darkness, but the time comes when the light shines. The time comes when you may feel as one bereft, but then you may hold him. Like those women who he met and they held his feet. Well, it's a blessed thing, isn't it? That he's so faithful in making those appearances unto those his dear people. And though we see him not, that is, in that body which he has, still has, but we see him not as they saw him then, but we see him by faith. We see him by and through the blessedness of that Spirit that so teaches us. The Spirit still may take of the things that are of him, and he shall take of mine and reveal it unto you. Well, faithful is he that calleth you. But I must pass on. Faithful is he that calleth you, not only in that day of your regeneration, the day when you are, often the term is used, converted. Many use that term and they do not, I fear, know what they mean. But we will leave them. This is true conversion. Except ye be converted and become as a little child. A child in malice, a child ready to learn at the master's feet. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye can in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. John, as you know, said, I must decrease, he must increase. All that is of self must be abased. All that is of him must be exalted. And exalted before the eye of faith, so that we may know that whatever he may present himself as, that we shall then rejoice in it. Well, faithful is he that calleth you, and calleth you unto that fellowship, but also he will call you unto glory. And that is what the Lord has in store for all of his people, that they may be called to that eternal glory. But the God of all grace, writes Peter in his epistle, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. How is it that we are called to that eternal glory by Christ Jesus? Because he himself has ascended up on high. He's entered into his glory, that we may enter into that glory through him. Enter into that glory that we may be with him. A blessed prospect, a glorious anticipation to the faith of the people of God. We may sometimes sing, look how we grovel here below, fond of these trifling toys. Our thoughts can neither fly nor go, to reach eternal joys. And thus it may be, often. But are there times when you and the apostle may say also, or have the desire to depart and to be with Christ? You see, the one that said, the good that I would, I do not, the evil that I would not, that I do, also would say that his desire was to leave this world and to leave all below, that he might be found then with Christ in heaven itself. Those desires, though they may sometimes seem to be weak, yet times when you would desire to depart. As we come down to our last days of our life, it's a great mercy if such expectation and desire strengthens. It is a solemn thing to only be able to concern ourselves with the things of this life, whether it may be things which are religious or things which are to do with our everyday living here. If our thoughts, our minds, our desires are never raised above it, it is a very solemn matter. Oh, to be rightly exercised under those things. If we feel our lack of it, then may we prove that God is faithful, who calls us to this glory, who calls us to the place where he himself is. And the only door into glory is through the portals or the gates of death. We must die, except he come again, and then we which remain shall be caught up together with him in the air. Glorious moment. But it is by calling. He calls us to that final glory of which we may have seen or known a little. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then we shall know those things which have been a mystery in many ways to us, or we've only seen it in part. Let us just speak for one moment the mystery of his love. How much do you know of it? A little sip here, a little sip there. That, my dear friend, will be enough to fill your poor vessel here. You won't be able to hold much. You're a poor earthen vessel. But when we are raised to that glorious state, when our souls enter into heaven, then we may look on his face and never, never sin. There from the rivers of his grace, drink endless pleasures in. What a calling. And how faithful God is to bring us unto that final glory. It has been said, and I trust, I believe I can say I feel it more and more as I go on. It will be a miracle indeed to come down at last and to find that the gates of heaven are open to us. A miracle of grace I stand. Indeed, we've known if we are to be his, we shall know. If we are his, we have known a little of that, causing us to enter into the blessings of God's grace. In the hymn, perhaps not an author that is often referred to, though you may know the hymn, by H. Pace, who says, "Ah, but for free and sovereign grace, I still lived estranged from God, till hell had proved the destined place of my deserved and dread abode. But oh, amazed, I see the hand that stopped me in my wild career." That was where the beginning was. That was where God's faithfulness was known. "Faithful is he that calleth you, called you on the grounds of the fact that you were separated as Paul was from his mother's womb, separated on account of the covenant purposes of God, separated according to election, as it was before the world began, chosen in Christ, that you may be a partaker of the same blessing and relationship, being sons, sons by blessed adoption, and heirs, if sons then heirs, joint heirs with Christ." An amazing fact. Can it be that we shall prove the fullness of those blessings of entering into an inheritance prepared for you? Well, amazed I see the hand that stopped me in my mad career. A miracle of grace I stand. The Lord has taught my heart to fear. To fear his name, to trust his grace, to learn his will be my employ, till I shall see him face to face. Himself my heaven, himself my joy. Faithful is he that calleth you. When Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, that he should be the one who would go to a land, a place that the Lord would show him. And if he should come to Canaan, then he also looked for a better country, even the heavenly Canaan. But God's calling was indeed not only known to Abraham in that way, but we may find there is a calling with regard to the Lord's people in varying things. My mind goes to Moses. Moses was called to be a leader over the people. And there are those that the Lord would call to raise up to positions in the church, that they may have to bear office. Aaron, he took not that honor upon himself to be a priest, a high priest, but he was called. He was called. So are faithful ministers. They're called. They're called with a holy calling. and I are equipped with that gift, with those gifts, so that they may be able to declare the whole counsel of God with the help of the gracious Spirit, and to enter into the varying cases of the Lord's people, not because they know them, at least they may not know the details of them. Yes, we may know something of the Lord's calling in regeneration and into fellowship and the things that I've spoken, but to come to be able to enter into your case particularly, well, they need the gracious Spirit's guidance. But the Lord, he calls them into the very path and into the very things which may feed the flock of God. You may be called to make an open profession of his name, and faithful is he that calleth you. It's a great blessing when you may find that you're given hinds feet, as the scripture speaks of it, to run. Very fleet of foot is the hind or the deer. I must finish. I'll finish though with this. A dear saint of God, now in heaven, I'm sure. He was, I believe, in his 70s, approaching 80, when the Lord constrained him to go in that way, making an open profession. And I well remember his comments. He said, when the Lord came and blessed me, he said, I could not get to the front of the chapel to speak to the deacon because they had no pastor. He felt he could run. He felt he could run. And he quoted from that hymn, I Know More of Mary Wonder, one who sat at his feet. Oh, then he came with such a desire and willingness, made willing in the day of Christ's power. This calling, to be called like those disciples, follow me. That you may say, but what of this man? That sometimes has been the case. You've looked at others and you've thought the sermon is for them rather than for you. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Follow thou me. Faithful is he that calleth you, but I may bring dishonour upon his name. If he's called you, he can keep you faithful, dear friend. And if, like Peter, you should fall, deny your Lord, what forgiveness, what mercy Peter wants to receive. And here was the keeping power of Peter. Satan hath desired to have thee, to sift thee as wheat, but I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. God-given faith can never be taken away, you know. No, what he gives, he ever gives. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. It's he that does it. He that begins and he that ends. He that helps you hitherto and helps you all your journey through. He who will hold you up when you are ready to fall, and he who will guide you on when you may feel that you are but wandering in this wilderness here. He who will bring you to feel as a child at home, though you are feelingly but a stranger. Oh, dear Ruth, yes, she was constrained to go and seek to gather a little from the field, and her hap was to light upon the field that belonged to Boaz. To come therefore where the blessed gospel is ministered and preached, that you may gather a few handfuls, those handfuls of purpose, those promises, those tokens for good, those blessings. Well, they may not perhaps seem to be many, but have you gathered a few? And will you hide those things as though you never gathered them, as though you never had them? If God is faithful to you, then may we be made faithful to him. Well, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And there is one thing certain, that he will be faithful to us to the end. And I to the end shall endure, as sure as the earnest is given. More happy, though not more secure, than the glorified spirits in heaven. But the day must come when every tried, troubled soul called to be saints. We don't become saints of our own self. We're called to be saints. And that every tried and troubled saint shall soon enjoy the glories that are laid up for them above. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Hadley is expected to preach next Lord's Day in the evening. And there'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 570. The Lord on high his love proclaims, and makes his goodness known to men deserving endless pains. He gave his only Son. 570.
Bless, dear Lord, thine own word. Take us now in peace as we go our separate ways to our abodes. Pardon us of every sin and all that has been said amiss. Forgive. We ask it for Christ's sake. May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.